Gusgut, Austria. Thank you for joining us here and leaving the world a little sillier. Today's episode hails from September 17th, 1995. I have titled it The Night of Tertiary Talk. We begin with a Jack Hart traffic report. Then Norm talks about his rather busy day. He got off the air and went over to the WBZ farm stand. Later that day, before he came back to work the overnight, he had attended an event at the Hat Shell, a swing celebration in honor of Ballroom Dancing Week. Later we learn that the next day, he and I were going to do a show. Norm used to go around to senior centers, private meetings, and other places and talk about old-time radio. Arthur Levine was the gentleman who booked the gigs. Ed Mullen, he of Swell Music Quiz fame and fortune, used to do the setup and produce them. When he moved on, Norm asked me, and we worked together on that until his passing. Oh, the fun we had! Not only doing the shows, but the many conversations we had while driving all around, sometimes getting lost. The show we did consisted of playing cuts from classic radio broadcasts and commercials, plus a world-renowned demonstration by Norm and I on sound effects. And of course, talking about all of it with the audience. The procession of callers are as follows. Billy Clyde. I can't tell you how thrilled I was to find this tape with Billy on it. He was a popular caller on the Larry Glick Show and famous for, among other things, a story he told about an orangutan. He and Larry were laughing uncontrollably. It was so popular that other callers would request to hear it again. I have not come across it here as of yet, but I'm sure somebody has a copy, and if I get the chance, I will definitely share it. Now, Billy loved Norm, too, and they talk about jazz. Now, the tape cuts out and returns with Billy again, and he starts the Tertiary Roads discussion that dominates this episode. The treat we get is to hear that great Billy Clyde laugh. They move on to talk about some radio personalities, and Norm gives us some fun insight. Just an all-around super moment from Norm's show. We hear from Mel, who references Billy Clyde's call and talks more about jazz with Norm. Then we have a brief call from Diane, who will be attending the old-time radio show Norm and I will be doing later that day. There's a bizarre call from someone going by the name of Carmine. He thought he was funny, but it was just plain weird. Tertiary Talk carries on with Jane from Woodstock, Connecticut. She also discusses the Brimfield Antique Show. She happens to be a dealer in antique electrical goods. A very interesting call. Providence, Rhode Island chimes in with their tertiary sewage treatment. Then we cut to the close of a dumb birthday game. The players were Reed, Marge, Margaret, Ken in traffic, and Patrick Murray, who was producing and in studio. Before he lets Patrick go, we discover that someone has parked a moped in the mailroom at WBZ. Back to callers. We have a listener who talks all about their love affair with the Corvette. Pam from Saugus asks Norm about the Lynn Item newspaper, and Norm tells of his losing battle with the vending machine. And we close with Irene from Dayton, Ohio, looking for the answer to a trivia question she had heard on Bob Rawley's show. Stick around, because Norm leafs through his leather-bound tomes of useless info to help her out. Your night of tertiary talk begins now.
Route 140 in Franklin, there in the center lane throughout the overnight. More work crews, Route 228 northbound and southbound in the Hingham area between Cushing Street and Queen Anne's Corner. Waterline repairs the problem, and that is a 24-hour-a-day project. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network.
Air Canada can fly you from Boston to Toronto nonstop, five times daily, and you get Aeroplan Mileage Plus or One Pass Miles. Air Canada, welcome to our world.
Was whether they made tons of money or no money or whatever. But it looked like things were pushing along very nicely, and a lot of good things. There was a lovely setting, and generally the parking didn't seem to be a problem for most people. Okay, that was one thing. Then that was in the morning. Then this evening, let's see, I keep looking for my notes here. Yeah, this evening we had a thing on the Hat Shell on Sturro Drive, a swing celebration at the Hat Shell. This is Ballroom Dancing Week. which I guess started about a day or two ago, and they're having things for the next several days at various locations honoring the Swing Week. And this was an exhibition, a swing sampler, a lot of people demonstrating various kinds of steps and various kinds of dances, like East Coast Swing, the Hustle, the Little Indy Hop, and Rock and Roll, St. Louis Shag, all kinds of stuff that I that I thought was beautiful. I love to watch great dancers, and these dancers, you know, they look so beautiful and just so graceful. And I'm a clod, so I've never been able to dance at all, so thus I appreciate them even more. Plus, they had Norman Doust and his Eastwood Swing Orchestra, with vocals by Sky Hurlburt, who's a lovely young lady who sang some very, very pretty tunes. The orchestra was fine, the band. The dancers were good, and I just very much enjoyed being there. And they had segments where the band would be playing, and people were invited to just dance, and they were dancing all over the grass in front of the hat shell itself. I thought that was a lovely scene. Anyway, I appreciate all the people who came and all the people connected with it for being so helpful and stuff while I stood up there. And I made it pretty obvious that I had no idea what I was talking about when it came to that kind of stuff. Cheryl Knopf, I do a special thanks to her because she helped a lot. But mostly it was just fun to see these dancers going through all of this. So a full day, the farmer's market in the morning, the farm stand rather, and then the hat shell celebration in the evening, and then a chance to talk to you right now. Oh, Billy Clyde, I can't believe it. I haven't talked to you in so long.
Norm.
Yes, Billy Clyde.
How in the world are you, old scout?
I'm okay. How are you, old scout?
Well, I'm doing fine.
Are you doing fine? I want to know the truth, are you?
Oh, would I lie to you, Norm?
I would hope not, because I look upon you with great affection. I would be terribly disappointed if you did lie.
Norm?
Yes.
What's Herb Pomeroy going to be up to now that he's retiring?
Well, he says he's retired. He really is not. I think he's retired from the Berklee College, where he's been on the faculty for a long time. But he's still playing. He's playing a lot of good trumpet at a lot of clubs. And I doubt that he would ever put the trumpet away and then just sit down and never play ever again or do anything. So he's still keeping himself busy.
And how about this singer that I used to admire a lot, jazz singer by the name of Mark Murphy? Whatever happened to him?
Oh,
he's from up there in your general area.
Well, I think he may be from the New York area. That's which I suppose, compared to North Carolina, it would be our general area. But I haven't seen him in a long time, but I did hear of him, and I'm sure he's still performing. And he was always one of my favorites. I thought he was one of the really first-rate jazz singers and one of the most, the least known. I don't think hardly anybody, if you mentioned Mark Murphy to anybody.
Oh, man, I bought a record by him, I don't know, it's about 15 years ago, and I just couldn't believe how good he was then. I put him in top four or five male jazz singers at that time.
Oh, I agree with you.
I mean, he was out of sight, and he was one of the world's best-kept secrets, man.
Now, I see if you agree with this. I think there are very few really pure jazz singers, even some of the people who have reputations as being jazz performers, jazz singers, very often are not in the sense of a Mark Murphy, who was, I think, 100% jazz, improvisers and all that kind of stuff. A Betty Carter, for example, is really a real jazz singer. There aren't too many in that category. I do like her. Obviously, you do not. I can tell by your tone.
She comes a long ways away from Ella Fitzgerald. She doesn't come close.
Well, see, now,
that ruined me forever. When I heard Ella Fitzgerald and that piano player that used to, Ellis Larkin.
Yes.
I heard them do Ella Sings Gershwin album in about 1956 or 57, and it wasted me, man. From that point on, it was like a high watermark that all other vocalists have to measure up to, and I must say that very few ever did.
Son of a gun, you sound like the guy who wrote the record notes on the back of her old albums.
Well, hardly. This is coming from my heart and they're my own words. I don't need anybody else's words when it comes to expressing my innermost feelings for her. I love her like she was my mother. I love her.
Yeah, I agree with you. She was always thrilling.
Man, she is so, I feel sorry for anyone that can't feel the way I feel about her, because they're just missing out on a whole exciting dimension of life, because she's what beauty is all about. She's beautiful inside. She's a beautiful person, and she's a beautiful singer. She can't do any wrong. I don't even like for other people to be mentioned in the same breath with her.
Wow.
I'm strong on her.
I guess you are. I don't blame you. And because I feel very strongly about it. One of the interesting things about Ella, I don't think she ever realized.
I am, by the way, because you obviously know how to spell this word.
Well,
and I didn't.
Well, I don't know. I just kind of maybe I hit upon it luckily.
Okay.
Billy. It says of the third rank order, formation third, of the third order in a monastic system. In chemistry, it's something else. Third in order of so forth, so on. It doesn't have a traffic kind of connotation here. It's a member of the third order of a monastic. Well, we just went through that. Tertiary roads, I guess, are like, instead of being main roads or secondary roads, they are third-ranking roads, which sound to me like, you know, really side roads that don't amount to anything.
It really sounds special to me, because in Greensboro, we don't have tertiary roads.
Maybe that's a...
That's why I admire y'all. I'm in standing awe of Boston. Now,
you know what I think you have in Greensboro? I think that's all you have at tertiary roads. you don't have any main roads there.
Maybe that's it. That's it, and I just never knew.
When you look at them, you look at a tertiary road, and they look like any other road. You can't tell. It's funny. At one time, I worked with
it's
a guy...
Funny.
I work with a guy named Nat Hentoff, who's a... You know that
name? Him. I've read a lot of his books,
okay.
And I read him constantly when I subscribed to Downbeat. He was the reason that I kept my subscription up for so many years.
Okay, now
I miss him. He left the field of jazz and went to writing about something else, and
well,
I never see him anymore.
Yeah, he's writing about the Bill of Rights and freedom of speech and... More political kind of thing.
Are you serious? Are you putting me on?
No. I'm serious about that.
Okay. Who does he do this writing for?
Well, he's got a syndicated column that appears in some newspapers. I pick it up occasionally in some of the tertiary newspapers around here.
Okay. Well, now I'll shut up. What were you going to say about it?
Well, when we worked together way back at a radio station in Boston called WMEX, which at the time was the worst run radio station ever in the existence of the entire broadcasting field, and never will be topped. That wasn't even a tertiary radio station. I don't know what the word for 10th rate was. But anyway, we used to do wrestling bouts. And occasionally he would be called upon when Frank Fallon, the main announcer, couldn't make it. He would be called upon to do the hole-by-hole description. Imagine that radio broadcasting wrestling bouts. And he had a vocabulary that would probably throw out the word tertiary as not being a big enough word, but he would use very strange words in wrestling bouts that have never been used since. Like he would talk about the wrestler is now being pinned and lying supine on the canvas, claret pouring from his nostrils, not blood, but claret and supine and all that kind of stuff. So it's true. Maybe that comes with the air that we breathe in Boston.
Well, I was just overly impressed by it all. I said, my God, these people up there are hearing him, and to a man, they know exactly what he's talking about.
Well,
it just blew me away that they can just band about words like tertiary and not even blink an eye up there. It's awesome, man. Y'all are awesome all the way around up there.
Oh, we just...
I mean, it's the center of cultural, of learning. I mean, Harvard gone on, MIT, and you're traveling down to the traffic director who throws words out to the public at large like tertiary, and you don't even... And you just take it in stride. That's just mind-boggling to me.
I'm just so proud to be a New Englander. I just am ready. And when you say those things, Billy Clyde, I just want to burst. I'm so proud of being here.
You're so full of it.
I'm so full of it is right.
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
No, I mean it that
way. I mean, you're expansive. I mean, I know what you mean. It's hard to contain when you realize just how great a city you reside in and all that it brings forth through your traffic director. My golly, who would have thought it, you know, that this man would know about tertiary?
You're never going to forget that, are you?
I mean, I've been meaning to call in about this for months, man. I'm saying this guy is close to my heart and will be indelibly etched forever because this guy, without even arching his eyebrow, does just a regular mundane traffic report and just doesn't even blanch at the word tertiary. This throws it out like it's an everyday word. I mean, Lord, God help me. I mean, you know, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I guess I'm babbling now. I better hush up.
Well, anyway, you're always...
But anyway, the bottom line is he doesn't use it anymore. Just when he's really got me going with it, he cut me off and he doesn't give me the word anymore. I mean, I'm all dressed up and no place to go now. I tune in every night to hear Jack Hart tell me about Boston's tertiary road, and I don't get Shinola anymore from him. It's not fair, Norm. I don't appreciate it.
I will scold him. I will.
I mean, he dangled a carrot in front of me, and now he's yanked it away forever.
You're doing a whole improv skit there going on there, Billy, aren't you?
Well, I didn't mean to, but I mean... I guess between Ella and tertiary roads, I'm just swept away with the whole thing. You know?
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm glad things are going well, and you have
I love you, and I just wish you wouldn't make these real involved excuses for not sending your fans pictures of yourself.
Oh, know? Yeah. Well, I should send them the pictures I have because they don't look like me.
Norm. I don't care. I don't look like I did 40 years ago. Well,
I know, but
a picture of you.
But if somebody wants a picture of Billy Clyde, they don't want a 40-year-old picture.
Just send it to 805 Tertiary Road, Greensboro, North Carolina. I'll get it. Everybody knows who Billy Clyde is. There's only 200,000 people down here.
Okay. Okay, I got to go.
Okay.
Take care of yourself, Billy Clyde. You too, Billy.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Hey, that was funny. Okay, 254. It's 4-2. Bruins beat the Blues. This was the exhibition opener for both the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins. Sean McEachern scored 2 goals in the second period. This is a Saturday night game out in Worcester, leading the Boston Bruins to that 4-2 victory. St. Louis's Craig Johnson. I wish I had a name like that. That's a great name, isn't it? Broadcast name. Hi, this is Craig Johnson. Anyway, he opened the scoring on a power play, and I thought he was very, very funny.
I haven't heard him for a long time. He used to call Larry Glick.
Yeah, he used to call me a little more often, but that's true. Yeah, every time when several weeks go by and we don't hear from him, people call to find out whether he's okay. He's got quite a fan club up here.
Is he a piano player out there?
Yes, he is.
Oh, wow.
He is. Yeah, he's apparently quite a good musician.
Oh, that's unbelievable. 2 other quick things. First of all, I got one music question, and then I get another thing. By any chance, you know what tonight's Megabucks number is?
Let's see. Hold on. I will look that up.
Not that I'm going to win $1 million, but I'm curious.
Well, no, I can tell you right off. That's right. I should have given it at 1 o'clock, and I didn't. Megabucks. Megabucks would be 21, 25, 26. 30, 31, and 37. And you were not one of the big winners because nobody was. No jackpot winners.
I didn't even have a number. Single. At least I get one number. I didn't even have one number.
Not one number. Okay, so that's it. If you're not going to have win, you might as well just go out totally. But nobody won. The jackpot was $1.2 million. So the next jackpot, they figured, would be worth about $2 million. But there were no winners on it. And those were the numbers.
Okay, Norm. And one other... Thank you, Norm. One other quick thing. This past week, I don't know which night was it, was it last week, someone called you and he was a guitar player. He studied with or he knew Johnny Smith, the guitar player?
Yes, Johnny Smith's name did come up, yes.
Yeah, So he was looking for the CD. And what I understand, I did a little detective work. They reissued that thing there, a jazz album. It was originally on Royal Roost, Johnny Smith with Stan Getz and stuff.
Oh, yeah, he was talking about one song particularly.
Moonlight in Vermont.
Yes, was it Moonlight? Moonlight in Vermont, that's right.
Right, well, they reissued the CD, plus they added bonus tracks, unreleased stuff from that same session that was never out before. And it's available on... It's available through Roulette Jazz. EMI owns, and it's in the better jazz shops around town.
Okay, and it's on a roulette?
Roulette Jazz, and EMI bought Roulette out.
Oh, okay, because Roulette is out of business.
Yeah, and
so
EMI. It says Roulette Jazz, and it's distributed through EMI Music.
You did your homework, Mel.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, Norm. You have a great show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk. You're going to come down, because I'm not exactly sure where this is going to be, but I guess we're due there for that talk at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
Oh, that's nice. I look forward. You're very young.
Well, a little younger than you are. No.
You're a lot younger than I am.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that, because usually I do this old-time radio thing,
right.
and most of the audience is kind of like I am, long in the tooth. It's going to be nice to see you there, a young person breathing... bringing a new ray of sunshine in spring.
Well, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I couldn't pass up the chance to see you. So,
oh, that's really nice.
You're coming right to my town. I called you once before, and you were so nice. I just had to call again. So,
oh, good. And you even got a babysitter and everything. You're okay, Diane.
Yeah, I've got twin babies that keep me up all the time.
Oh, how old are they?
Well, they're a year and a half now.
Oh my!
And there were so many nights you helped keep me sane, so I had to. I've been listening to you as long as you've been at DZ anyway. If I had known you were elsewhere, I would have listened to you there too.
Well, you're very nice. Hey, thank you very much. I'll see you in a few hours.
Yes, I'll see you. I wondered how you keep your schedule. I'm a nurse too. I work nights, but this has been worse staying up. I don't know how you do it, but
well, this week has been especially busy. Normally, I don't really schedule much on the weekends because I'm here, you know, on the three weekend nights. But I don't know, everything seemed to pop up this week, and actually, so far, it hasn't been bad. I feel pretty good about it.
Well,
and I'm coming down with Tony Nesbitt. You've heard us talk with Tony on the air. Yeah, Tony's coming down with me, too,
okay,
so you'll get a chance to meet him.
Great, I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Okay.
And this morning, today.
Today, whatever it is.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks a lot, Diane.
Bye-bye.
Oh, she sounds delightful. I guess I've mentioned and plugged it. Shamelessly that I do this talk with tape excerpts of old-time radio shows. We just talk about the way radio was in the 30s and 40s. She sounds very young because I don't know. Obviously she wouldn't remember any of that, but some of the performers she may very well know about. Got people like Jack Benny and that kind of stuff. The Shadow, since they made a movie which apparently bombed on the who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men, the shadow knows. That one. So we do all that kind of stuff. Now that I think of it, it is kind of sickening. I may not show up myself. Anyway, let's go to... Is it Carmine? Carmine?
Yeah, my name's Carmine, Norm. How you doing?
Good. Good. How are you doing,
Carmine? Man, you are a legend. It is a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm telling you this because I am a big-time Ovaltine drinker. I love Ovaltine. It is.
Well, you're not making that up, are you?
It's my favorite drink. But Norm, do I have a story to tell you?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
Today I was driving down the street and I got the munchies around Austin, and I pulled out Austin to Lincoln's drugstore, and I met this soda jerk at this deli named Wally. And I pulled up to this guy, and I said, "Hey, Wally, how about, you know, what you got on tap?" And he's like, "Hey, hello, how about I meet your wife, Norm Hall? This is Wally. Hey, yeah." And I just said to this guy, "Man, you must be on LSD." And he said, "No, man, let me meet your wife. This is Wally." And he just made me the best soda I ever had in my life.
I see. Okay.
What do you think about that, Norm?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that for a little bit before I come to any conclusions. I have to piece that story together.
Bonk!
Okay, Carmine. Let me. I think I'll go now. I don't know what he was leading up to.
You know what they're referring to? The threes. you give the traffic on the street.
Oh,
on BZ.
Well, that's true. Then the tertiary means
third.
Tertiary
is rotating to three. Yeah, and I kept saying,
that's right.
Oh, he doesn't get it.
No, but why would Jack Hart say the tertiary roads?
Oh, tertiary is pertaining to three. And
well, he could mean, as what the way I interpreted it in that sense, and maybe you're right, maybe he meant it in your way, or maybe he meant it both ways, was there main roads, secondary roads, and these sounded like, roads that weren't even secondary. They were just minor roads somewhere.
Well, there's a lot of those in Boston.
I guess so.
With
yeah.
the potholes.
I guess so. Where in Connecticut are you, by the way?
Woodstock, Connecticut. Nobody's ever heard of it. They always think of Woodstock, Vermont or Woodstock, New York.
Yeah.
We're right on the borderline, the northeast corner. Next town to me is Southbridge, Massachusetts.
Oh, Southbridge.
We're right outside of Sturbridge, like 10 miles
out of Sturbridge. Oh, yeah.
In fact, I just survived right outside of Sturbridge is Brimfield, and we just survived a week on the fields of Brimfield doing the antique flea markets.
Oh, is that a big flea market area or at least a big show down there?
That's the largest in the nation.
No kidding. And, yep. Does it go all summer long?
No, it's three times a year for a week in May, usually the first week in May, and then the first week in July and the first week in September.
Okay, in Brimfield, it seems to me I've seen that advertised as one of the really big antique shows.
Oh, fantastic flea market.
Now, are you a consumer or do you...
I'm a dealer.
You're a dealer in antiques. You have a store
really
and everything?
Really strange antiques, antique electricals, from the earliest toasters, waffle irons, any electrical appliance that was made, the early mixers with only one speed, off and on,
No, I'm kidding. Now, you specialize in antique electrical goods.
Are antiques now.
No, I realize. No, that's interesting. I didn't realize. I'd never heard of anybody specializing in that.
There's
kind
a lot
of,
us that do. Really, you'd be surprised how many people have gotten into those things because they are available and they're not overly expensive. You get into the 200 and 300 year old things, you can't afford them anymore. But these work. Mm. We take them home and use them.
Okay. You use the electric. These electrical items you're talking about are usable and they're in running condition.
The ones I do, I will buy a few real rarities. Not that I use the ones from 1912 and 19, but you can plug them in and they will work. Toasters and waffle irons and the old early mixers from the 20s. Oh, some fantastic stuff. It was an age of elegance and the competition was unbelievable. The electrical revolution was even more, did more to this country, I think, than the mechanical revolution. In other words, more came out of once we harnessed electricity. It's really an amazing thing to study.
Yeah, these items you say are particularly elegant. They really
oh,
did it up.
Some of them are like a heart-shaped toaster with push buttons, so it flips the little baskets around so you can turn the bread around from one side to the other and toast both sides. Another toaster works like a car wash. You put a piece of bread in one end. It's like a little tunnel inside. There's a little assembly line device inside, and it carries the bread through, and it comes out the other end toasted.
That's wild. Do you give talks on this at all?
No, just to my customers. They come to my booth and buy something from me just to shut me up.
Oh, no. It sounds like
fascinating.
It sounds like somebody, having a meetings and things
it.
Like that would have you come over with some of these electrical things and do a talk. Anyway.
Well, the thing I like to stress is when they made them back then, they made them to last. And what they make nowadays...
you don't think we'll have them like in the year 2012?
No, I would say 6 months is about the average length of life for a new toaster.
Yeah.
Now,
hey,
your friend Herb Pomeroy, ask him the next time that he's on if he ever ran a record shop in New Britain, Connecticut on West Main Street.
I will ask him that.
I used to go to Pomeroy's music store, and they had listening rooms. And you could go in and listen to the album and decide if you wanted to buy it. And it was, take your time, pick out what you wanted to hear. And I'm pretty sure it was Herb Pomeroy's shop, and it was in New Britain, Connecticut, my hometown.
I will see Herb, within the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I will ask him that.
Yeah, New Britain, Connecticut. I'm pretty sure it was him. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jane. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, boy. You just love to flaunt that kind of stuff, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You and your fancy modern ways.
It's tough.
A tertiary sewer department, not
tertiary
sewer department.
Sewage treatment.
A sewage treatment. Now, what would that mean exactly in that context? Do you know?
It means third level. The first thing you do to it is the primary treatment, and then after that you do a secondary treatment, and then if there's still more to do, then you do a tertiary treatment.
Oh, I should have guessed that.
Sure.
I suppose you have tertiary other things, too. Do you have tertiary roads?
Uh-huh.
Huh. Oh, see if we can't even beat you on that.
No.
We consider ourselves a high-powered metropolis.
I know.
We can't even beat Providence.
No.
I shouldn't say it. We can't even beat Providence. That's kind of putting the city down, and it's a pretty city, and I should not be doing that.
That's right.
Yeah. You're a native of Providence, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've jotted down the tertiary sewage treatment plant, and I'm going to talk with somebody here. Man, you're not going to outdo us on that fella.
Well, maybe you're with your big tunnel, Deer Island stuff, you'll have it too.
Okay.
See you later.
Take care. You're not a lot of fun. You know that, Reed?
Oh, I know. I was congratulating Ken.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misinterpreted what you said. Forgive me. I didn't mean to. I shouldn't have shot out at you like that.
I copied his, and his was wrong. He copied mine, and
no, because you were both the closest. As a matter of fact, you were both. And so now that means that Ken has got four and just edged out Margaret. I'm
wow.
So sorry, Margaret. You didn't get a chance to win some of our tasteless prizes.
What an exciting game that was!
Yeah, get a whole package full of really worthless things. It's really kind of a treat.
It's okay.
Yeah. So I want to thank all of you for taking part. Thank you very much, Madge.
Yep, you bet. Catch you later.
Okay, thanks very much for your version of the theme song.
Sure.
That was really nice.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye now. Okay, and Reed, too. Nice to have you with us. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Congratulations, Ken.
Thank you. Thank you, and thanks for the help.
Okay. And Margaret, you're okay in my book.
Oh, I had a wonderful time. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Oh, my goodness. This is such heady stuff, isn't it, though?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And Patrick, thank you very, very much for playing the game with us. This is Patrick Murray, who was our producer, and General Bon Vivant. Is that your motorcycle?
No, it isn't. Somebody has their moped in here. And it just stinks up the whole place with fuel.
And also, I think it's illegal. I mean, it's loaded with gasoline. You don't put that inside a building.
I don't know whose it is.
Yeah. Because there's nobody else working on this side of the building.
No, not that.
You know, do you think it's somebody from television just came in and just in a drunken state?
Could have been.
And said, I'll plant that
on
the radio
side. Well, they heard it was going to be pouring rain, and they decided not to get there. Their little moped wet.
Yeah, but is that a moped? It looks like a full motorcycle.
No, it's a moped. Well, it seems like a moped. It's sort of maybe halfway between, but it's not a full motorcycle.
Really?
Is that pedals? That'll give
I didn't look because it's sort of crammed in between the mailboxes up here at BZ.
I mean, it's right inside. Whoever's doing that is... George Westinghouse will be furious.
It's been here since, we were Kid Company was on at 7, and it was here before 7. So it's been here for a long time.
Son of a, because I owned a moped at one time, and that looks more like, you know, it's more official looking than my little piece of junk that I had.
Well.
Anyway, thank you very much for playing the game, Patrick. Now your job is to track down the owner of that thing and to call the police.
Okay, I will. Okay.
Call a tow truck.
Call a tow truck. The next thing you know, it'll be anyway. Always good to talk with you, Ken.
Yes, I enjoyed it. And I look forward to next week.
I mean, you said that with such a lack of enthusiasm, but what the heck? I tell you the truth, I'm totally unenthusiastic myself, so I don't blame you. Anyway, talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
You too.
It's kind of so.
Well, that license plate is Vetsky, Vetski. And I took the Corvette out today. I went up to Singing Beach up in Manchester and rode the Corvette around a little bit. But anyway, that week is tied in with a big Corvette week that goes on up there. And it's always the headquarters are at the Beacon Motel. And it's just wonderful. We had about 100 and something Corvettes.
And yeah, we had a big parade down through Lincoln and Woodstock and everything, and it was just beautiful.
Let me ask you this, because I'm not really very sharp on cars. I don't know too much about them. Now, your Corvette is what year?
1970. It's 25 years old.
Okay, now, they're not making Corvettes anymore?
Oh, they sure are.
Okay, so, but there is a Corvette club. What is it called?
Oh, okay, Norm. You know what? There are hundreds of Corvette clubs, if not thousands, across the nation. There are several, probably 10 or 12, just alone in Massachusetts. And the way you could probably get in touch would be through your local garage or something like that. And I used to belong to many clubs. I was president, as a matter of fact, of a couple clubs. And I've been an officer in many clubs. And then I just kind of get out of it, mainly because of my hours. I work nights. But there's so much to do, and there are weekends all through the summer for Corvettes that you can do. As a matter of fact, they had a show in Norwood at Direct Tire just a few weeks ago, and that was a big show. And the big thing in the White Mountains, though, was the one we just went to, which was wonderful. We have a parade right through downtown North Woodstock and right through the Lincoln Center. And the police, they block off the barricade, the stoplights, and they let us go through, and it's just wonderful.
How many Corvettes are usually involved?
Let's see. This one I just went to was a big weekend, and that's about 100, 120 plus Corvettes.
Mm.
And so you've got a good chunk of Corvettes. I love it, Norm, when I'm right in the middle of the parade. And I look in the front, and all I can see is Corvettes. And I look in the back, and all I can see is Corvettes. But you know what I did this year? I took my Buick.
Oh, now, a 1980, is that what you said you had?
No, I have a 70.
A 70 Corvette.
Yeah.
A 70 Corvette.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's white.
Yeah, and you keep it, will you bring it into to a Corvette dealer who would... does the lubrication and all that?
I have a special mechanic over in Lynn. And again, God, you're going to kill me, Norm, for all these plugs. But my special mechanic is the Corvette Connection in Lynn. And they know everything from 1953, when the Corvette was born, right up to now. And they do everything from interiors to paint jobs to everything.
And there's no problem getting parts and things for older Corvette?
No, when you go to the right people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I've done all this time. And, you know, it's funny, Norm, I haven't done much of my Corvette all summer because mainly I'm just sort of tabbed out on money. But I took it out today, and I just says, well, I'll just go up to Cherry Hill Park and go at the airport and watch a plane. And I went up there, and I said, nah, come on, let's go. And I went right up 127, and there was something going on right around Endicott College. It almost looked like a movie filming or something was going on.
Mm.
And, it was a big traffic jam, and I said, oh, God, what did I get myself into? And I kept on going. I got past the traffic jam, and I went to West Beach, and then went right up to Manchester, up to Singing Beach, and it was just heaven. And then I took 128, boom, right down. I pumped the Corvette right up to 70 miles an hour, and it went beautiful.
Great. That sounds nice.
Oh, it was fun, Norm. It was fun. You know what, Norm? I have to tell you, I've had the best day I've had in a long time, and I wanted to share it with you. It's my one-year anniversary with my little kitty cat that I adopted. I adopted a Maine Coon cat.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart, and I just had a great day, and I was listening to you tonight, and I said, geez, I got to call Norm. I haven't called him for so long.
I'm glad you did.
And okay, Norm.
And best to you, your mom, and your Corvette, and the little kitty cat named?
Her name is Abby.
Abby, okay.
Yep.
Okay, Abby.
Okay, Norm, you keep an eye out for my license plate now.
Okay, I will.
Vetsky,
V-E-T-S-K-I. Oh, and so are a lot of other people. I hope they don't start stalking you.
Okay,
but thank you. Take care.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye,
Ann. Bye-bye now.
Okay, 254-1030. We'll take some more calls right after the news. We've been around for another 20 minutes or so. Oh, that's too bad.
I just want to ask you, do you live north of Boston?
Yes, I live north of you.
You live north of me?
North of Saugus.
North of Saugus.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, have you read the Newland item?
No, I have not. I know that they have revamped the paper. I talked to one of the reporters from the Lynn Item about a week ago, and I tried to pull one out of their you know, those newspaper boxes, because I wanted to see what it looked like.
It looks awful.
Yeah, and I couldn't anyway. It wouldn't take my change. Oh. Even the box wasn't working. Tell me what your thoughts are about it.
I don't like it.
Well, I mean, but you know...
It reminds me of an unglorified Boston Globe. That's what it reminds me of.
No, but maybe if you could be more specific, you don't like the layout, is that what you're saying?
That's right, I don't like the front page. It opens different now. It opens like a Boston Globe does instead of the Lynn item used to.
You know? Well, no, it's, they're both the broadsheets. I mean, they're both the same size. Now, why would it?
It opens from different now. It doesn't open sideways like, you know, like the item used to open like the Herald. It doesn't open like that anymore. It opens like the Globe. And the news is not the same. It's just, it's altogether different. It's like you're in a real big city like New York or something, reading the New York Times now or something. That's what it reminds me of. It doesn't remind me of a family newspaper anymore.
Okay, it doesn't seem folksy enough.
But yeah, you know, I've been reading the paper for 40 years.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what do you mean about opening it. Now, the Herald and the Globe, although they're different sizes, they still
open. Maybe that's what I mean, the sizes are different. It's real, real big like a Globe now.
Oh, wasn't it always a full sheet paper?
And they get these, it's just, I don't like it.
Oh, I guess you made that point very clear. Yeah, my goodness sakes, I'll have to do something about that.
Yeah, would you please?
Okay.
That's all I wanted to ask you.
Okay, because I know, they're still one of the few papers, that, as I recall, that is still owned by a private family, I think, or by a local group.
I don't know.
There aren't any other news. Well, the Lawrence Eagle Tribune is still owned by the Rogers family, which founded it. But an awful lot of papers have become chains. That has become part of big chains and all.
Yeah.
So you still have an independent newspaper, so far as I know. I'm sorry you don't like it.
I don't like it.
I'm going to go back to some other paper box and see if I can't pick up a copy and look at it, because I'm a newspaper junkie.
Yes, I would like. Me too.
Okay.
I read the Inquirer, the Midnight Star, the Globe, the Item, the Herald. That's it.
Oh, do you? Okay.
And the Saugus Advertiser.
And the Saugus Advertiser. Okay.
All right. That's all I want to know.
Okay, Pam. Thanks a lot. I'll give you my appraisal when I get a chance to read the paper.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Irene in Dayton, Ohio. Hey, nice to talk with you.
Hi, Norm.
Hi, Irene.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I'm glad to hear that.
Okay.
What do you do out there in Dayton?
What do I do?
Yeah, you personally.
Oh, I just loaf around.
Oh, that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm retired, for one thing.
Yeah.
But I could work part-time, but, you know, I've worked all my life, practically.
How long have you been retired?
Let's see. I retired when I was 56.
Oh, you took a real early retirement.
Well,
then.
I did because of a disability.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So you've been retired how long now, then?
Oh, let's see. 56, I'm 64, so.
Okay, so about 8 years, though.
8 years,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I just, because I've often wondered what it's like to be retired. I you know, I'm about that age.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, because there's nothing like getting out and, you know, just having some kind of life outside of your home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I sure do, yeah.
That housework is, well, men usually don't do housework.
Well,
you do, I don't know.
Well, at that time, no, they do. They really have to at times, sure.
Yeah, but that doesn't cut it, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it gets kind of old after
Yeah,
a while.
But anyway, retirement is not treating you wonderfully well. You just soon... Well, you said you had a chance to go back part-time or work part-time. You don't want that, though. Why is that?
Well, there are several reasons I just, you know, won't get into them. Right
okay.
Now.
Okay.
Well, the reason I called Norm, the other night I was listening to Bob Raleigh, and he had a trivia question, and I fell asleep, and I don't know if anybody called and answered or not. The name, it kind of made me think maybe it was Butch Cassidy, you know, Paul Newman's character in Butch Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought maybe that was his real name. It was George Leroy Parker. It seems to me I saw that movie I don't know how many times. I'm going to have to get the video and watch it again if I don't get the answer, because it's really bugging me.
Okay, what was the question?
George? Bob Raleigh wanted to know who George Leroy Parker was.
I see.
And it seems to me like when I was watching the movie, they were both sitting on his balcony, just sitting talking, you know. And they asked each other their name. And it seems to me like Butch Cassidy, you know, Paul Newman said his name was George Leroy Parker. Do you happen to know what his real name was?
George Leroy Parker.
What Butch Cassidy's real name was.
That really sounds right to me, but I wouldn't bet the ranch on that, but that...
Yeah, here a while back on PBS, there was a story about them, and, the gist of it was that they never did find their bodies, you know? And they were digging up these graves. There were different people trying to point out or trying to remember where they were buried, and here they were digging up all these graves, trying to find in Bolivia, that's where they died, supposedly.
Yes.
And, I don't remember them mentioning their real name. All they said was Sundance and Butch Cassidy, you know.
Okay, while you were talking, and I've been looking at some things here. And I don't know. Let me just see if you can.
Do you have a book?
Well, I have a book that has some stuff in it, but I'm not sure whether it has that particular bit of information.
And
that's why I'm kind of read through sections that I think might contain that information.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm stalling on the air.
I wonder if the library would have a book of. Given names of movie stars. Some keep their own.
Oh, I have a feeling. Oh, yeah. No, I have a feeling if you call the... you're in Dayton, Ohio, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I would think if you call the Dayton Public Library and ask them, I would think they would give you...
Yeah.
The name. Here is... Let me see. Yep. Butch, I have the information for you. You don't have to call the library. Yeah, he was born George Leroy Parker in 1866.
Okay, I thought I remember that name when they were talking, you know, in the movie Butch Cassidy and Sundance.
Yes, a lovely...
You know, that played for 52 weeks here.
Yeah, I thought it was a fine movie. I enjoyed that.
Oh, I watch it every once in a while when I get to the library. You can get videos from... There's a library here in Dayton where you can get all the videos you can carry out and you can get for a week.
Beautiful. You know how you got that name, Butch Cassidy? He adopted his alias to honor Mike Cassidy, his original tutor in the arts of rustling and horse thievery, apparently.
Oh.
Apparently Mike Cassidy was a horse thief and a rustler and all that.
Uh-huh.
And so George Leroy Parker decided at least to take his last name and put the name Butch at the front of it.
Phew! I'm glad we got the answer to that question before the tape ran out. Thanks for listening. Wrapping up the tertiary theme, keep hitting these three buttons: like, subscribe, and share. Next week, episode 56, will be a little something different. I hope to have you back here again. Closing the vault and riding the radio waves home. For Air Canada, Norman Doust and his Eastwood Swing Orchestra, Ballroom Dancing, Frank Fallon, Nat Hentoff, Herb Pomeroy, Mark Murphy, Betty Carter, Ella Fitzgerald, Stan Getz, Johnny Smith, Roulette Records, Radio Wrestling Broadcasts, The Corvette Connection and Lynn Mass, The Lynn Item, George Leroy Parker, the wonderful Billy Clyde, Jack Tertiary Rhodes Hart, and Norm pinned and lying supine on the canvas with claret pouring from his nostrils, Nathan. I'm Tony, Inside Crotch Body Lift and Slam, Nesbitt.